This is Radio Powered by the People, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, worldwide at kpfk.org. You are listening to Melting Pot here every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. My name is Michael Barnes, and I am your host for this show. You can find us online at meltingpotblog.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/meltingpotradio. And here now are the Souls of Mischief from their record, There Is Only Now. All You Got Is Your Word is the name of the song right now on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, rappers talking loud, saying nothing, made of nothing. Only a something, walking proud, daily front and shady. Air dust them, air custom. When wanna be, but uncomfortably sunning them suckers don't want it, please.
Falling like autumn leaves, up off your knees, take your defeat, honorably. These ornery, I'm a lee, storming the beach, Galilean army fatigues, breach with volleys of speech.
Probably kamikaze to beat, probably unique. Out of your reach, Muhammad Ali, Holly Golly, highly intrigued. That malarkey they speak is sloppy next to Damani Malik.
See, pardon me, chief, don't call me when I'm popping that freeze. Starving gigs at Mardi Gras, you fall in the streets. Stop with the drinks, the cops will think. See, you swear that you a criminal, but talk to police, you thief.
You saying you the owner when you dropping the lease.
And he saying he original, but copying beats.
Save me the typical, you're not in my league.
Claiming you Olympian, never got on the team.
Stop playing with them chemicals, they rot in your brain.
All you got is your word.
Telling lies so absurd.
Like it's not a concern.
That's when drama occurs.
All you got is your word.
Even with dollars to burn,
everybody'll learn.
All you got is your word.
I done seen it, lowest valley, highest zenith. Life fly by speeding, pen bleeding, composing a flow that's undefeated. When moments ago I was a fetus, now notice me grow to a genius.
Wimpy flows never keep me on my tippy toes. More feminine than every woman I've been with before. Rappers be shallow, hollow, frontin' for real deep. My words the only thing that I can give and still keep.
I build on a hill with Khalil Gibran, and I chill with the killers where my skills was born. Oakland, California, here the mental is strong. In the middle of the storm, but I'm here to live on.
On and on, get it lit up like the grid of Tron. Calm with a bomb in the pineal gland, they talk silicon. Still I'm spilling when it's finished, dawn and dust on the skunk while they flunk looking thunderstruck.
Saying you the owner when you dropping a lease.
And he's saying he original but copying beats.
Save me the typical, you're not my lead.
Claiming you Olympian, never got on the team.
And stop playing with the chemicals, they rot in your brain.
All you got is your word.
Telling lies so absurd.
Like it's not a concern.
But that's when drama occurs.
All you got is your word.
Even with dollars to burn,
everybody you learn.
Yeah,
everybody you learn.
Even with dollars to burn,
like it's not a concern.
All you got is your word.
All You Got Is Your Word is the name of the song you were just listening to here on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot. That song is featured on the new record from the Souls of Mischief, collaborating with Adrian Young on an album entitled There Is Only Now. And here now in our studio, it's my great honor to welcome in the Souls of Mischief. How are you guys doing?
Yo, yo, what up, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Peace. Thanks for having us, bro.
It's really a pleasure. We were hoping to originally have you and Adrian, who you've collaborated, Adrian Young collaborated on this new record, have you all of you guys come in, and unfortunately we weren't able to have the whole performance. But I really am really thankful for you guys coming in still to do the interview. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, right on. Thank you.
So I want to talk about a lot of different things. But a lot of the focus I want to be on this record, There Is Only Now, which has just been released, and done some shows connected to it as well. Going to do likely more shows in the future connected to this record. This is a record. It's a really interesting record, just in terms of the concept of the record itself. And one of the things I'm really interested in how you guys got hooked up with Adrian, and how the idea for this record came about.
The way we hooked up with Adrian is basically a little bit after Black Dynamite came out and everything, well, probably a little bit, about a year after, I guess, I saw a Twitter feed that had people talking about, like, you know, who should Souls of Mischief work with and stuff, and I was just kind of watching it, and people had different ideas, and I saw Adrian Young get on there, and he was like, I'd love to work with Souls of Mischief, and I was like, word, okay, shoot. So I reached out to him. I was like, for real? Where you want to work with us? He was like, hell yeah. And nothing really happened, culminated from that. It kind of was just like, you know, a Twitter conversation. And, you know, fast forward to almost 2 years later, we just wanted to revisit the idea. Like, hey, you know, I wonder if Adrian Young still wants to work with us. So I reached back out to him, and he was like, hell yeah. And then, you know, right after that, we all met him. And a couple weeks after that, we were in the studio.
And you guys have, when you think about all the records, this record is, this is like, this is the sixth record, that like full-length record you guys have put out?
Yeah. Six.
Okay, so there's always been a variety of different production styles with y'all's music, but I don't know if there's ever been kind of this kind of production, the kind of stuff that Adrian does, because it's full instrumentation, and he uses a lot of vintage instruments, vintage recording technology. Like what was that experience, especially compared to kind of past experiences?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's very inspiring just being around all that equipment. You know what I mean? It's kind of, it's a little bit different when you're just staring at a computer screen, you know? It's like, it's draining, but when you're surrounded by instruments and the hum of the tape machine and just the sound when it's rewinding and all that, you know what I mean? It's kind of, for us, it was nostalgic because that's how we first started recording, was on 2-inch tape.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it has a certain warmth and character that just is already built into the platform of just recording onto 2-inch tape. And then couple that with the fact that he actually uses the same recording techniques that they use to make these great records that we all love.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for us, me, you know, digging for records all around the world and finding crazy psychedelic rock albums, and you're like, oh, this is dope. And he totally understands how to recreate that sound and the instrumentation, like, flawlessly.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's just hearing that, it's just, you know, it gets, as a writer and as a person that's creative, and I love the spirit of collaboration. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it was very inspirational and educational at the same time.
Was it a situation with this record where you guys collaborated on the concept? And with a record like this, I'm always interested just like in the process of how it comes together. Did you have the concept first? Did Adrian come with the music first? Or did you guys kind of come up with the story, the basic story, and then go from there? Like, how did this really come together?
Concept first, and then day by day we made the music. You know, so you take the concept, you break it out into like a treatment, like a, you know, like a movie. And we basically wrote the script as the songs. But the background to the script was kind of general, and then he sort of embellished, you know, as we went along. But everything was made verse by verse, kind of song by song.
Wow. It's fitting that the process itself, it's like you guys almost like story, it sounds like you storyboarded the record almost the same way that people would do with a film, because it is a really cinematic, like just hearing the record, it's really it's a record that you have to hear from start to finish, you know, because it's a full concept, a full record, and it really does play like a movie in a lot of ways.
I think it's a little bit different than the way they do movies, but because we wrote to the music, you know. I don't think they script movies to the actual score.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure, but we always, like, for the most part, like, the story we came up with as a separate thing, and then the songs, the way the musical soundscape was kind of what gave us the idea for certain concepts within the story.
Yeah, so almost kind of got like the bare bones script together, but the process of making these songs kind of changed some parts of the story or added to the story, like that kind of. So instead of like a single script, there's almost like multiple scripts and a lot of improvisation kind of built into the recording process.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's a basic storyline in certain moments of tension, and, you know, we knew that we had to create certain moments on the record, and so, you know, we talked about that, but it was, you know, we, in terms of what was going to really happen to certain people, like, we didn't know. You know what I mean? It was like, do we really kill this person right now or no? It's kind of like, we had a very in-depth discussion about how the record should be scripted and what points that we wanted to hit, and we did do that. But there's also like other elements of just kind of as the story develops, then you know you want to stay true to what the characters would do, and you know what I mean, it's kind of like it was evolving at the same time that it did have like this strong backbone in terms of what it was going to really be about. But there was always room to kind of add on to that.
It's doing this kind of album where you have kind of like a central concept, as opposed to what I think would be somewhat more of the regular experience where like you come with songs, or maybe especially like in a crew like this, that individual members have song ideas and then you collaborate over those ideas, but there's not anything that necessarily unifies them. And so it's just kind of getting enough material so that you feel good about what you're going to put out as a record. But this one, it's all these songs connect for the most part. There are very few songs that really sound like they just stand alone. I mean, you can play them by themselves, but they really connect to each and every one. Is that process more challenging, or is it in some ways, is it easier because you're all focused on the same thing at the same time?
Wow. I would have to say, you know, I'd have to say it's challenging and easier if that's...
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. You know, one thing that makes it easier is that we didn't have to focus on any of the music.
Mm.
AJ made it all. So, I mean, we all produce and stuff. So a lot of times in the process of making an album, you know, we have to, you know, come up with beats and stuff, and even as a group, search out beats from other people and whatever. So it was easier in that sense. It was challenging, definitely, to write a whole. I mean, we've written story songs before. We're kind of known for that. Our fans know us for that, writing story songs. But this was a whole story album, so it was challenging in that aspect. And there were a lot of differences too as well. Being that AJ only records in his studio, mm-hmm. where all of his vintage equipment is, we had to travel from where we were to record. We recorded everything there, so that was a challenge. But as far as the writing, I mean, it was challenging. But we write. That's what we do, man. We've been writing together for over 20 years, you know. And so it was challenging, but it wasn't anything that even came close to stumping us. It was more like a welcome challenge, like, let's do this, you know?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I mean, one of the things that I would imagine is sometimes difficult for groups that have been around for a long time and have a certain identity with that period of time is doing something that's legitimately new. And it's like you guys are known as great storytellers, but as you were saying, it's like you've never kind of done this whole kind of like long form piece where all the stories connect in this kind of manner, and the recording process also. When you were saying that, it sounds like all these tracks recorded like everybody recording all the tracks, or were there instrumental tracks and then you put your vocals on the instrumental tracks?
Like an average day in the studio would kind of be like, all right, we would go into the studio with AJ with the kind of a concept of what the song was going to be about. And he would kind of just create right there with us in the room. So we would just kind of be sitting in there vibing with him, listening to what he was doing. We wouldn't even start writing at all.
Mm.
He would be laying down drums and maybe a bass line or something, you know what I mean, and a couple little other elements. And then once he kind of started having it going, then we would talk about the structure of the song, where the bridge is and what we should do in these different parts. You know what I mean? So it was like we would craft everything basically at least one song like a day.
Mm.
And then, you know, work on it all night, maybe get into something else on that similar tip, you know what I mean? Depending on how we finished it or whatever, sometimes we would come in and AJ would already have something that he already started on. You know what I mean? And we would come in, but I mean, I feel like the majority of it was actually us there with him in the process of creating the music. And then we would, you know, text a few hours or whatever, and then we would kind of write to that, you know?
Mm.
And it was interesting just watching him create something so incredible, like from nothing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, and that was always kind of, I feel like, inspirational for us to be around the creative process of the music being made and be there to witness it and then go through the whole entire process of finishing, completing the song lyrically. You know what I mean? It was dope.
We could talk a little bit about the concept here. As I understand it, some aspects of this story are actually connected to reality, to a real incident that happened to you guys back in 1994. The album is set in 1994. But could you talk a little bit about, you know, and whatever you want to share in terms of the reality versus kind of the cinematic elements or the things that are added to this story, but just could you talk about the concept of this record, There Is Only Now?
Well, basically in 94, we were hanging out after a club, I think it was called The Upper Room, which is actually a nice, you know, pretty mellow club. We were out in the parking lot of this bank, and a guy runs up on us, and he's pulling down a ski mask, yelling, like, get on the ground or something, while at the same time pointing a pistol. And in the middle of barking one of his commands, he had pointed the pistol at our buddy's face, and the pistol goes off, you know, but it's in the middle of the command, so we figure at that point, getting down, this is a murder, this is not a robbery or anything. So everybody started running, and he started chasing cats and shooting and all that kind of stuff, and by the grace of God, it was Domino. He must have turned his head or something. I mean, the bullet was so close to him, he had powder burns on his face and on his eyes. So, I mean, it was close. And at that point is when the record departs from reality to fiction, you know. We don't know in reality who the guy was in the ski mask, and nobody was kidnapped and any of that kind of stuff. So at that point, you know, when Busta steps in, it kind of, that's when it turns up to the fantasy.
What was it about that particular incident that that you guys felt like you wanted to revisit on a record like this?
I think Adrian was the guy who wanted to revisit it. He was like, we were sitting around thinking about, you know, these sort of fictional concepts for this conceptual album, and he was like, this is gold right here. This is better than fiction. It's reality, but it's still a good foundation. And from there on, we just kind of built and built and built. I mean, the story has twists and turns, but we were moving like that too. You know, it's almost like some choose your own adventure when we're putting it together.
Yeah. Why don't we take a listen to actually the track that in some ways has the most of reality, which is the second track on the record, Time Stopped, kind of sets up the album, sets up the story, and moves in a variety of different places after that. But to go ahead and hear some of the sounds right now from Souls of Mischief, with music by Adrian Young from the record There Is Only Now, right now on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Alone in the crowd, just puffing on loud. Evil eye up in the sky, see the ominous clouds. Rain coming, my play cousin Domino down the block. I say, what's up, dog? We both give a pound. Now it's daps all around, my A plus clowning. Tajay laughing while he cracking the crown. Royal, sip the oil, then I spotted a stallion. I'm looking at her bosom while she jocked the medallion.
If it was not for these friends of mine, it would not have been a time worth remembering if I'm correct in assessing it. Fresh as sparing no expense like a pharaoh or a prince. Women staring over this, men glaring over chicks. We paying no attention to them sore thumbs. Plus it only makes them vexed when them whores come.
Don't kill the messenger, they stressing doing more drugs. Not to mention
if you test them, they reach for guns.
I need some funds, but that versatile out of order. Now I'm posted up by the 80 Bowerick store in a Wells Fargo parking lot, sparking up with 12 organized informers on the corner. Wanna call the cops? Stop.
All going in the joint, hollering at hotties in a drop top. Summertime crop tops, goodies about to pop out. Trying to seal the deal, passing the doobie. They ain't looking at me, they looking through me at a black dually pack full of hoolies. Who these man?
They rolled past
and packed up
and jumped out
the black truck
with black mask
and black gas.
We froze up
and that fast.
My light flashed
before me, time stopped.
Okay, I'm panicking, ran to the back of the car that we were sitting on. I see my homie shaking on the ground, I think my gone. Heard some more shots in the distance, I'm looking for an exit. Two girls I saw up in the club pulled up and told me get in.
I heard the muffler, now I'm running for some cover. Some suckers put they ride reverse and burnt rubber. Got me flustered, I'm like, oh brother, there go the summer. Cancel supper, but I tuck jump behind a garbage dumpster.
Thug is bucking out of the snub nose, I duck dove underneath the front of the Nova like what the Tokyo and caught another glimpse of the villain as he was once more trying to catch a victim who's slipping and make the blood flow.
Hit the corner, tucked the asphalt, barely touched toes, trying to shoot my ass off. Heard a couple more, did the Carl Lewis for a block and the shot stopped. Look over my shoulder, Brody aiming with his neck cocked.
They rolled past
and backed up
and jumped out
the black truck,
the black mask
and black gas.
We froze up
and that fast.
My light flashed
before me. Time stopped.
Time stopped. The name of the song. It's essentially the first track on this new record, Souls of Mischief, collaborating with Adrian Young and all his little tricks and all his toys in his studio. This is something that's actually been released on Adrian's record label, Linear Labs. This is kind of, I'm pretty sure this is the first release on
yes.
the record. Yeah.
Yes.
And the thing I appreciate about this record is what's happened here is this really like this coming together of two really independently minded musicians in terms of the way they not just make music as independent artists for the most part these days, but also really like as the philosophy behind the actual music that's created. And I was just wondering if you could talk a bit about just that approach in terms of being an independent artist and how important independence and that kind of freedom to create is to you guys.
Yeah, I think when we set out to do this record, we looked at Adrian's work, and Adrian, his background, you know, with Black Dynamite and the Ghostface record and the Delphonics record and mm-hmm. all the records that he's done,
mm-hmm.
It's not like he's been pushed into a corner to create something that a label, some big corporation is telling him to do. You can tell that his music comes from the heart. So that was I think that's part of where the mutual interest came about, is like he saw that same thing in us. We're mm-hmm. obviously independent. We've obviously been running our record label, Hieroglyphics
yeah.
Imperium, for a number of years now. And like, I think that's one reason why the whole project, while we were able to come together as like-minded artists and have a similar vision and create this record. But we don't go into the studio thinking like, oh, we're independent artists and we're going to try to make this certain sound or anything. We've always wanted to, you know, make music that we love and that represents who we are as people and maintains our artistic integrity. So I don't even think we think about it. I think we've been doing it like this for so many years now. It's just innate, you know. It's just something that's second nature for us. It's not our thing. I think we actually tried to do that at one point, probably between the first album and second album, and realized that it wasn't. That's not us. We're not going to jump out of our skin to make something, you know, that somebody else just wants to make money off of or whatever, and sacrifice what we, you know, we have a musical, a historical perspective on music, you know, looking back to the great artists, you know, Marvin Gaye and James Brown and Miles Davis and Herbie Hancock and all of these people. And we have us doing this music, whether it's hip hop or whatever form of music, is like we have to maintain a certain standard. And I'm not comparing us to them. I'm just trying to say, like, when we looked at those guys and what they were doing, they were making music from the heart. And that's the way we approach it.
That issue of maintaining standards also seems to connect to quite a lot that's on this record, especially the song All You Got Is Your Word. It again just seems like this kind of one of these moments where kind of the philosophy, and it's not that it's something that you guys have had to constantly preach out a particular philosophy of Souls of Mischief or the whole Hiero crew, but there is a kind of ethic, I think, that's associated with the various people who are a part of it. A lot of it, I would imagine, is connected to being born and raised in Oakland and all the history connected to Oakland, and especially the music, kind of connections between music and that independent spirit in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I know a lot of people always try to separate different acts because of whatever. They try to make these sub-genres and mm-hmm. whatnot. But, you know, for us, Too Short was always like a huge influence on us, even just lyrically. Not like we tried to rap like him, but he was a rapper that we listened to a lot as a kid and respected what he was doing, you know what I mean? And his movement and how much people were like down with him and respected him in Oakland for like being authentic and original and all these other kind of things. And also his independent spirit, you know what I mean? So him along with the whole cast of others have already kind of put down a blueprint in terms of what you can do as an artist in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just because people are more so just inclined to be, you know, they think for themselves, kind of. You know what I mean? It's not like we have a big industry out there that says, oh, you need to do this. And you could just, if you get on, you could get on if you just go to this club and hook up with these producers and whatnot. You kind of have to just kind of stand on your own two feet and make something for yourself, because we don't have these other outlets for us to just get signed. You know, it's not like living in Los Angeles or New York or Atlanta where they have, like, you know, record executives kind of scouting and looking around for people, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of diversity there. You know, you got everything from like hippies to the Black Panthers, and there's just a diversity of thought that kind of exists in the Bay Area that I don't think exists in a lot of places in the world.
Yeah, I'd agree.
We're fortunate to grow up in that. And I think Oakland has always kind of been we kind of create the culture. The slang comes from Oakland, and the style of dress and the way that people drive their cars and just the whole attitude, you know what I mean? And just it's there's a lot of things that have come into hip hop and just even in just Bay Area culture that started in Oakland. You know what I mean? And it's a city that takes pride in that, being the originators of things. And I think that kind of transcends into our music.
With this record, the record, you know, tells a story. There's a story that's in the record itself. Some of the ways that we talked about the creation of this record and kind of the process and y'all hooking up with Adrian, the record also in some ways tells a story about the way that you guys make music and the way that he makes music. And there's some different themes on here. One of the themes certainly is the issue of time. And it's something that from the moment I heard the kind of the lead song, There Is Only Now, the title track for the record, those lines from that song, it's like I've been obsessing about it. And I've wanted to pick y'all's brain about these lines. The song itself in some ways is connected to the story, and the song primarily is focused on kind of like a particular romance at this particular point in the story between some of the characters. But the chorus in there, I just want to read this: the past is an illusion, there is only now. The future is a fiction, there is only now. A brief intermission, there is only now. Of this there is no question, there is only now. And especially in thinking, you know, the fact that for most people who think of Souls of Mischief, the number one song that comes into their mind is 93 Till Affinity. And the kind of story of time there is almost like from now until the end of time, you know, this is who we are, this is what you're going to get. This song and that statement seems very different from that. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about especially how those lines came together and what you feel they represent for the group.
I mean, 93 Till Infinity, I think, goes really well with the whole thing. I mean, it's a, you know, I don't think we look at things from a linear perspective.
Mm.
I mean, we all from different faiths, but all probably got a similar belief in a higher power and sort of the circular nature of the universe and things way move. Am I overstepping my boundaries?
Not at all.
So when we say 93 Till Infinity, it's like we're existing simultaneously in the present at that time, you know, and then extending that all the way down the continuum, you know. So it's not something where it's like a linear thing. It's more, you know, I mean, it's saying it's about ubiquity and being there
from now on, you know?
Yeah, so in some ways...
Infinity is not a... at some point, it's going to bend, right?
I mean, yeah.
You look in the mirror. So it's not a line where... And at the end of infinity, there's no such thing as the end of infinity, right? It's infinity. Yeah. So there's only now, I think it's just more from the concept of... I mean, it's just like a physical proof or a philosophical proof. I mean, does the past exist? We got records of it. Where is it? You feel what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
There is only now. We can only live in the moment. Does the future exist? When you get there, you're in the present, you know?
Exactly.
We're creating this
moment is creating both the future and the past.
Yeah.
The now is making them both, and they're both actually don't exist except for the time we're making them now until we're talking about them as something that may exist or something that did. I mean, it's basically what he said. What Tajay said.
Past is an illusion. I mean, we know it's there. There's a consensus it's there, but it's an illusion, right? It's a mirage.
Yeah.
The future is a fiction, meaning that we have to script it. You know, it becomes nonfiction when we get there, but until then, we have to script it.
And that time
right
is
now. The time is now, and it's a short intermission between the two times, but it's really the only thing that exists.
You can also look at it. I mean, there's so many ways to look at it, and they're all true. In many senses, it's the same thing, except from young 93 Till is a young, brand new adult perspective, and this is and 20 years later, you have like some seasoned adults that have been around the world a few times perspective. They're kind of the same thing, though.
Yeah.
93 Till infinity. There's only now, forever. You know what I mean? So
and also not to dwell on the past. Like we're not trying to recreate 93 Till infinity. We have never stepped in the ever. For any reason, we're trying to go a different direction every time we make music. So I think it's kind of saying like, hey, take your mind off that. Concentrate on what we're putting in front of you. You see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Like I don't – we've never felt the pressure to recreate 93 Till Infinity. You know, that's a song from a quiver of songs that we feel all have equal footing as far as how much craftsmanship we put into them. Each one, you know, like we're not – every record we feel we're making is our best record. I don't understand artists who come out and be like, this one's cool amongst my, you know, like.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're happy that this one is a record, I think, that's got a universal consensus.
It's such a multifaceted thing, too. Because, like, if you look at it, like, just musically speaking, like, I look at music like, you know, music is a moment. Like, you have to live in that moment. So that's what kind of what it represented for me is, like, there is only now us in this moment creating this music. And a lot of musicians, that's the way they say, you know, it's about this particular moment right now while we're creating this music, you know. And it's something that the way we approach each song is like we want to live in that moment, at, you know, and there it's not about the future or the past.
Yeah, so in some ways, and this is part of the reason why I was so interested to ask this question and hear you guys speak on it, because it really does seem like it's like an extension of some of the original things that y'all were talking about at the beginning of your careers, and this is more or less what you guys were just saying a moment ago, that the kind of philosophy hasn't changed so much, but it's certainly a deeper understanding of it seems to come through at this moment in your careers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a maturity that comes with performing and recording and just kind of living with the music. You know what I mean? We've been doing it for 20 years, which for more accomplished performers, they've been doing it for 50 years, you know, so they look at 20 years like, you know, that's not, you know, I mean, that I salute you, but it's not a huge deal. But at the same time, after doing something like that and just living like that for 20 years, you are going to mature as a songwriter and as a your philosophies on what music can be. I mean, when we were first doing music, we wanted it to be sonically pleasing, you know, for people. We didn't really understand that it could have such a strong impact on someone's life that they can be kind of pulled out of despair, you know, when they're just in their darkest time of their life, and somehow our music helped to bring them up to a level to where they were actually able to experience joy. I mean, it's powerful when people come up to you and tell you that you've changed their lives with music.
Got them off drugs by talking about smoking weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, people appreciate art on another level. I mean, when you're the artist and you're painting the picture, but the how it affects the listener or the person who's appreciating your art, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to just be a literal translation for them. You know, it's like Fess was saying earlier, it's like, you know, you capture these moments and these feelings on these records and they can feel your joy and it kind of passes on to them. And, you know, we understand that music is powerful. It does impact people's lives and it changes things, you know what I mean? And that's what I think we're more conscious of that than ever. And at the same moment of us coming into a deeper understanding of what the power of music is, we were also recording this record at the same time. So,
in thinking also about some of the different things that we've been talking about in this interview, connected to this record and to the work that you guys have done over the years, just all these different ideas about time and kind of the place of music. I really wanted to get your thoughts about kind of the evolution of the genre that we generally associate Souls of Mischief with in hip hop. And I was really interested, especially because you guys come up at a period of time which, you know, for the most part we call the golden era, where there really seems to be a kind of like an explosion of styles and like a lot of different scenes are really cropping up. People are starting to really have a lot of different production styles. There's a lot of different music that comes into the production and samples. And it's a period of time where hip hop is popular and there's some big artists, but it's not a mainstream commercial kind of sound. And here now with this, at the moment this record is coming out, the landscape is very, very different for hip hop. And I'm just wondering, you know, your thoughts on the evolution of this art form that, you know, throughout your career, you know, you've seen like a really big evolution of, you know, how we think about hip hop, how we talk about it, how people listen to it, how they create it. And I was just interested in your thoughts about, you know, where you feel like it has gone up to this point.
Well, I mean, speaking from the perspective of kids who've been listening to hip hop since I think all of us pretty much heard it the same time in 1979, it has definitely gone through. I mean, we're from a generation that remembers it when there was no hip hop, you know, and we're like the last ones. Everybody since then has been raised on hip hop, so we definitely have seen a lot. Growing up, I always wanted hip hop to be bigger. I wanted there to be more. We were the type of kids that went to the record store every Tuesday. I mean, I got a job to buy vinyl when I was a kid and to buy my own shoes. You know, that was it. And we used to go to the record store every Tuesday just to see what was out. There may not be something new out for weeks or months because hip hop just wasn't coming out that much. It was that small. You know, it was kind of something that if you liked it, you loved it, and everybody else had a Jerry Curl and was listening to you know, Shalamar or something. You know what I'm saying? And we were listening to that too, because if you only listened to hip hop and you didn't listen to a lot of music because there wasn't a lot of hip hop out. And I mean, all the way to now. I mean, my point is, we always wanted it to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what happened is, what happens with every music that gets big, it starts to become economically viable thing to where like corporations would be like, yo, okay, this is serious. We can make some bread off of this. We come around at a time to where there were all these A&Rs that grew up on hip hop and loved it. And it was still like this burgeoning music. People knew it was out, but like you said, it wasn't a very commercial mainstream music yet. And these A&Rs were still taking chances, getting these progressive artists trying all this new stuff. Cause all this new stuff was still happening in hip hop. Then it was, people were trying this shit. And, we came around that time, right around when we were in there. Record companies were like, "Okay, we got a formula. What will really sell the most records?" And at that point, you know, Gold Record wasn't even good enough anymore. At that point, they really got the paradigm down. They're like, you know, we gotta pop this out somehow, and you know, we gotta remove the threats out of it. And you know what I'm saying? And that's just kind of what happens to anything that gets big, you know. And so we just continue to make a music however we make it, because we make it organically. We make it for us. It's not really driven by any trend or what's going on in the industry. I mean, obviously, you're influenced by the things you like, but we like to push the envelope all the time. So we never really got into the fitting into the cookie cutter paradigm, or could make that kind of music that would be commercially viable for a record label. But I mean, a lot of people was like, oh, hip hop is all screwed up and this is not. This is what happens when something gets big. Mm. Everything in the world that ever gets popular goes through this process. So it shouldn't be jarring or eye-bulging or jaw-dropping to anybody what's happening. There's a lot more hip-hop, so it's a lot more commercialized, and there's still a huge underground of people doing progressive music. It's even bigger than it was before. And just to throw in the mix of that, the advent of modern technology and file sharing, P2P and all of that, definitely has changed the industry tremendously, but it doesn't really change how we approach making our music at all.
Hmm. I mean, you know, like, we're fans of hip hop, you know what I mean? So we've always been able to kind of search out things that we liked and found good music consistently over the years. I mean, I think that's kind of how we started out. Like A-Plus was saying, like, we would go to the record stores all the time and search out stuff. And, you know, you'd be looking for something else and you might see something that you didn't even know what it was, but you just try it out. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we still have that kind of spirit of exploration and seeking out music, you know what I mean? And, you know, we've been fortunate enough to have relationships with different artists, and we're able to, you know, we have more access to a wide variety of music. And speaking as a fan, you know what I mean? Like, I look at it a little bit more like these corporate entities that control the money flow of how the music industry works. I mean, these people just remain anonymous and are kind of like cloaked figures behind some Wizard of Oz wall or something, you know what I mean? And yeah, everyone's constantly pointing the finger at 50 Cent or whatever, instead of being like, well, who's the person that is like in control? Who owns these radio stations that everyone says plays all this horrible music all the time and it's so detrimental to the youth and whatnot? Like, who is that person? Because we don't really talk about them, you know what I mean? Who are the owners of these, you know, multinational corporations that are the owners of all of the outlets that we receive our media through? And we don't really expose those people, because really they are the ones that are at fault. I mean, I like artists to be free and be able to create and do whatever wild ideas, imaginative things that they can do. You know, it may not be the best thing for a kid to be around, but I don't think that should limit an artist, you know, from being able to create. I do think, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to promote like negativity and violence and harming the youth. I'm just saying, just from a perspective of someone who appreciates beautiful art, even if it's painful to see sometimes, you know? So, I mean, I think that there's been a consistently super incredible, talented artist that have been way under-recognized, you know what I mean, for many years. And, I mean, I hate to be, like, talking about my crew, like, yo, Hieroglyphics, but, I mean, it's true. People that know about Hiero is like, you know, we've been putting out quality music for a long time. We don't, in our own backyard, we're able to get 2,000 plus people to come to an event for us, but we can't get one song played on the radio in our local, you know, station or whatever. So there's something that just doesn't make sense there. If you're like, yeah, we're the people and we represent hip hop and we represent the Bay Area. I mean, everybody sees Hieroglyphics t-shirts and knows our music, but you don't hear it on the radio. Like, I wouldn't call it a conspiracy, but I would say that there's a greater force other than just people just have a horrible taste in music. I mean, there has to be something greater than just the fact that, oh, every single person on earth is just an idiot and doesn't like good music. I mean,
no, and I think the thing that proves that is in those moments where some real quality, like people find real quality, they often, they jump on it. I mean, this is part of why why so many people, you know, the people who know, respect y'all as a crew. Y'all as a crew, Souls of Mischief as a crew, respect the entire Hieroglyphics family, and because of the approach and the quality for such a long period of time, and that there's never been a drop off. There's never been a moment where you guys were not doing your music. It's like there's it goes back to some of the stuff we were talking about with time a moment ago, where you are always, it's like you always have a kind of sound where we know it's you, but it's never that it's always been stuck in that same moment. It continues to evolve. It continues to change. It continues to mature. But there's always that attention to quality and wanting to push things forward as opposed to just staying in that same place. And I think that's part of the reason why so many people respect you, and why, I mean, for you were mentioning this a moment ago, but this I think is from the last one. We're recording this interview here in early September, and Hydro Day just happened in the Bay Area, and you were saying it's like 20,000 people showed up for that. And that's a special thing. And there's not a lot of people, not a lot of crews, not a lot of cities that really feel a need to pay tribute to a crew of musicians who have really done something for that city. I think it's a real testament to the work you guys have done over the years that Oakland, you know, they recognize, you know, kind of what you've meant to the city. In creating that moment, which I think is just beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we had the event and we didn't have, you know, any incidents of violence or
three years straight, no incidents of violence. 3 years.
Oakland is notorious. Mm. You know, people know what Oakland is all about, and you know the people that, you know, the media tries to, you know, pump fear in your heart. These are our family and our friends that we have a lot of love and respect and understanding for.
Yeah.
So we don't look at, you know, the average kid from Oakland as like a criminal or a horrible person. You know,
yeah,
what
there's
mean?
A lot of that demonization going on right now, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Hyro Day is a perfect example of how that is totally not true. You know, you can
Hulk
have
wash
things.
I say? My bad.
I love my city and I love the people that are from there, you know what I mean? And it's like there are problems and ills of society that, you know, are gonna need to be fixed, but you can't point the finger at hip hop as like, oh, this is the reason why people are shooting and killing each other, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, I do think that, you know, it's a powerful event. You know, you can see, it's like we were talking about Marvin Gaye, you know, people are that make music to change things, and there is a power of music, and I think that that's why music is so violent and full of sex or whatever, because it's just trying to keep people blind, you know what I mean, from coming together and changing the world. And that's what happens when positive music is played or whatever, music that has like a hopeful message. It totally changes the whole landscape of how people see things. It is that powerful, but there's also a lot of other factors, you know what I mean? And I hate, you know, it's just like if someone was to get hurt at Hyro Day, I don't see how you could blame Hyro Day. Like, we bring in a positive thing there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's definitely something that, as I said, those who know, they appreciate and appreciate the work that you've done in the past and appreciate the work that you've done here in the now, and we'll certainly appreciate everything that comes next. I just wanted to thank you guys once again for coming in and sharing this time and talking with us about this record and about your career and your ideas about music. You know, it's I mentioned it at the beginning, but to say it again, you know, it's just really an honor to have you guys here. And to get this chance to kind of talk with you about this music. So I thank you once again.
Thank you very much for having us.
I appreciate
for reals,
it,
for reals. Thank you. Well, great questions, too. We're really early in the, you know, we do this all the time, but this is kind of a special thing. We're coming out with an album, and we're getting asked questions that we've never had to answer or never had to process before, and this has been a good one. So thank you for your thoughtfulness. And
I appreciate you hearing that, too. We're going to close this out with the title track from this record. This is the song There Is Only Now from the album There Is Only Now, Souls of Mischief and Adrian Young here on KPFK and Melting Pot.
The past is an illusion, there is only now. The future is a fiction, there is only now. A brief intermission, there is only now. Of this there is no question, there is only now. And if I get too lifted, would you hold me down? And if you think I'm slipping, would you show me how? The future is a fiction, there is only now.
Check it, it was a kind of love most people only find it once. Divinely touched by angels, there was no time for lust.
Plus, I'ma tell them that a teenage love will never last. Looking through the glass of past scars, so fast forward to the future where the youth them are a-changing.
But this couple don't care what you saying, they hearts blazing. Can't nobody tell them nothing, they love is unstoppable.
Overcome any obstacle, together they will always grow.
Don't let go, holding on.
He know they saying take it slow, to him it's taking long.
Save this place.
Her daddy saying this ain't right to her, it can't be wrong.
Maybe hold on a little while longer, cause the love is so strong.
You know that I would die if you loved me.
I pray this feeling never leaves me, I want it forever.
And I'll do anything to see that we always together.
Whatever it takes for something that no one can sever.
Together.
Forever.
Whatever it takes for something that no one can sever.
And I'll do anything to see that we always together.
Forever.
Together.
Together.
Forever.
What's love? Can you imagine being told by the old, this ain't right? Fuss and fight, don't you roll? It's so cold, what's your mode? Will he break or will he fold? They only, they won't even. The homie Stoney in love with his girl, and so was the big homie. Now what a pity, a footnote to the cutthroat. It's rare, see I was told all in love is unfair. One feet, one fair, done near. Fishing, dishing, and wishing upon air. Vision and fishing beyond years. Damn, people always pushing the wrong way. See, my advice to the homie Stoney is do it your own way, the long way, and hear what the songs say. Together, forever, forever, together, you dig? See, this is what it's supposed to boast, and get close and be with the one that you truly love the most is destiny.
The past is an illusion, there is only now.
They already move planets and moons. The plan is the vanishing move. Flip a townhouse down south. Powwows with the gals. Outbound fishing boat with his city folks sipping smoke. Then he spoke pushing the envelope, which extended hope to an innermost impulse. His desire for a child undisclosed.
Deep inside a fire took hold the moment that the plot was shown. Visions of intermingled souls, matching afros, juleps on a creaky post. Life at a slower tempo, no regulations to encroach upon. They relations cantankerous kinfolks. Well, damn, if they can't accept us, then we gon' scram. Is an illusion, there is only now. Now, a brief intermission, there is only now. Abyss, there is no question, there is only now. And if I get too lifted, would you hold me down? And if you think I'm slipping, would you show me how? The future is a fiction, there is only now. The past is an illusion, there is only now.
Hope you guys really enjoyed that interview with Souls of Mischief. It really was an honor for me to have them here in the studio. Adrian Young was also supposed to be here to chat about that record, but he wasn't able to make it. Hopefully sometime in the near future we'll be able to bring Adrian in, chat about that project and other upcoming work he has. Maybe bring his band in to perform too. Next week, if all goes well, we'll have Jungle Fire in our studios. Chat about their long-awaited debut record finally coming out, and also to perform for you too. This show and the interview will be archived on our website, meltingpotblog.com. I know I said last week I was going to get everything up to date, but man, this semester at Long Beach has really been killing me. So This time by Wednesday, I promise you, everything will be up to date, and it'll all be there on the website. You can also become a fan of the show at facebook.com/meltingpotradio. And if you have the time and you have the money, we'd really appreciate you becoming a member of KPFK. You can always pledge online at kpfk.org. We're going to be taking this upcoming fundraiser, going to be on a hiatus during the October fundraiser. And so we'd appreciate the support whenever you can for Melting Pot and, of course, for the station that allows us to do all this programming. That's all I got for you. Folk Scene is up next. You guys take care, and I'll see you when I see you.